وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ فَلَا تَكُنْ فِي مِرْيَةٍ مِّن لِقَائِهِ وَجَعَلْنَاهُ هُدًى لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلِ.
Verily, we bestowed the book upon Moses, so entertain no doubt if the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, received the same. We had made that book a guidance for the children of Israel. Verily, we bestowed the book upon Moses, so entertain no doubt if the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, received the same.
This message, although apparently addressed to the Prophet, peace be upon him, is meant to be directed to those who had doubts about his being God's messenger and the recipient of his book. From here on, the discourse turns to the theme broached in the opening verses. Verses 2, 3 of this surah. The Meccan unbelievers flatly denied that any scripture had been granted by God to the Prophet, peace be upon him. Rather, they accused him of having forged something which he subsequently ascribed to God. This is clearly refuted in the opening verses of the surah. Here, a further answer to this objection is provided. The unbelievers had expressed astonishment at the very idea that God revealed any book to the Prophet, peace be upon him, dismissing such a notion as patently impossible. They wanted that all others should either deny this or at least consider it a doubtful proposition. However, the fact is that there was nothing unusual about God's revelation of a heavenly book to his prophets. This was, after all, not the first instance of a book being revealed. Many prophets have received scriptures in the past, the best-known example being the grant of the Torah to Moses, peace be upon him. Hence, if a scripture of the same kind was made available to the people of Arabia through the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, what was there that was so novel or weird about this to give rise to doubt and skepticism?
We had made that book a guidance for the children of Israel.
In the same way that the Torah was meant to guide the children of Israel, a point already made in verse 3 of this surah, a scripture has now been sent to guide the people of Arabia. This statement can be better appreciated if it is viewed in its proper historical context. It is a fact of history, a fact with which the Meccan unbelievers were well acquainted, that the children of Israel had been subjected to a life of great hardship and indignity for several centuries during their existence in Egypt. Then, God raised among them the prophet Moses, peace be upon him, and through him they were emancipated from the yoke of slavery. God also revealed his book to Moses, peace be upon him, and thanks to its blessings, the children of Israel rose, under its guidance, to become an illustrious nation. By alluding to this historical fact, the people of Arabia are being told that the Quran was their book of guidance in the same way that the Torah has been revealed to provide guidance to the children of Israel.
وَجَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ أَئِمَّةً يَهْدُونَ بِأَمْرِنَا لَمَّا صَبَرُوا وَكَانُوا بِآيَاتِنَا يُوقِنُونَ.
And when they remained steadfast and firmly believed in our signs, we created among them leaders who guided people by our command. We created among them leaders who guided people by our command.
True, the Torah changed the course of the Israelites' history. All this was not because a heavenly book was sent to them, for the book was not some kind of amulet that the Israelites wore around their necks, and no sooner than they did so, did they begin to scale the heights of greatness and glory. Instead, the fact is that the Israelites owed their historical achievements to the fact that they chose to believe in the teaching of God's book that had come to them and because they followed its teaching with patience and perseverance. Furthermore, the leadership of the Israelites was entrusted to those who truly believed in the scripture and who were not obsessed with the pursuit of worldly gain and pleasure. On the contrary, they resolutely braved every danger and endured every loss and suffering which came their way, because of their devotion to the truth. They vigorously resisted the promptings of carnal desires within themselves and valiantly fought against the enemies of the true faith without. It is only after they had done so that they were granted world leadership. The purpose of highlighting all this is to warn the Arabian unbelievers that in the same way that the revelation of God's book to the Israelites determined their destiny, so too the destiny of the Arabian unbelievers would be determined by the revelation of God's book to them. Leadership would henceforth go to those who believed in God's book and who followed the truth with patience and perseverance. As for those who turned away from it, their future was doomed.
إِنَّ رَبَّكَ هُوَ يَفْصِلُ بَيْنَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فِيمَا كَانُوا فِيهِ يَخْتَلِفُونَ.
Surely, your Lord will judge among them on the day of resurrection concerning the matters about which the children of Israel used to differ. Surely, your Lord will judge among them on the day of resurrection concerning the matters about which the children of Israel used to differ.
This alludes to the rise of schisms, sectarian dissensions, and bickerings among the children of Israel. This characterized their collective existence after they had lost firm religious faith, abandoned following their pious leaders, and immersed themselves in crass worldliness. One of the changes that came about among the Israelites is evident to the whole world, the ignominy and humiliation to which they were subjected in their long history. There is also another consequence of their backsliding on which the world is not so much aware. This will only come to light on the Day of Judgment.
أَوَلَمْ يَهْدِ لَهُمْ كَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ مِنَ الْقُرُونِ يَمْشُونَ فِي مَسَاكِنِهِمْ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ أَفَلَا يَسْمَعُونَ.
Did these historical events not make them realize that we destroyed many nations before them, amidst whose dwellings they now move about? Surely there are many signs in this. Are they unable to hear? Did these historical events not make them realize that we destroyed many nations before them, amidst whose dwellings they now move about?
The unbelieving Arabs are exhorted to learn from the long historical record of the Israelites. It should have been abundantly clear to them that the fate of every nation among whom a messenger is raised is contingent on the attitude it adopts towards him. Never was a nation that rejected its messenger and called him a liar able to escape God's scourge. It is only the believers who escape God's chastisement. As for the unbelievers, they are always reduced to the level of an example to be learned from.
أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّا نَسُوقُ الْمَاءَ إِلَى الْأَرْضِ الْجُرُزِ فَنُخْرِجُ بِهِ زَرْعًا تَأْكُلُ مِنْهُ أَنْعَامُهُمْ وَأَنفُسُهُمْ أَفَلَا يُبْصِرُونَ.
Have they not seen that we drive water to the parched land, thereby bringing forth crops which they and their cattle eat? Are they unable to see? Have they not seen that we drive water to the parched land, thereby bringing forth crops which they and their cattle eat? Are they unable to see?
The context indicates that this was not put forward by way of an argument to confirm the hereafter, though the Quran often employs it for that purpose. Instead, it was stated here to drive home the following point. A man who observes a sterile patch of land can hardly imagine that one day it will be in full bloom. Yet, just one powerful downpour can change all that. In like manner, the unbelievers had dismissed Islam as a non-starter. Yet if God so wills, His power can make it flourish in the same way that a sterile patch of land flourishes, bringing forth abundant, luxuriant vegetation.
وَيَقُولُونَ مَتَى هَذَا الْفَتْحُ إِن كُنتُمْ صَادِقِينَ.
They say, if you are truthful, tell us, when will the judgment come? They say, if you are truthful, tell us, when will the judgment come?
The unbelievers persistently asked the Prophet, peace be upon him, about when God's help would come to him and when they would be annihilated. In fact, they asked, when will God judge between the believers and the unbelievers?
قُلْ يَوْمَ الْفَتْحِ لَا يَنْفَعُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِيمَانُهُمْ وَلَا هُمْ يُنظَرُونَ.
Tell them, if the unbelievers were to believe on the Day of Judgment, that will not avail them, for then they will be granted no respite. Tell them, if the unbelievers were to believe on the Day of Judgment, that will not avail them, for then they will be granted no respite.
The unbelievers are told that God's punishment is not something they should eagerly look forward to. Rather, they should avail themselves of the respite that they presently have, one that they can enjoy until they are confronted with God's punishment. For once this strikes them, there will be no escape. If they decide to follow faith after confronting God's punishment, this is all too late and of no avail.
فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ وَانْتَظِرْ إِنَّهُمْ مُنْتَظِرُونَ
So, leave them to themselves and turn away from them and wait. They too are waiting.